This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. But don't expect us to be nice or politically correct. Nothing is sacred, and the team will be finding the queer and profane wherever we can on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred?
Hi there, Joysters. You are on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred. It's 3 minutes past 10, and thanks to Sammy and the Wet Spot Girls for another night of the Wet Spot. And Sammy played out one of her favourite songwriters again, and that song kept on cutting out all the time. Did you notice that? And freaking us out in the studio, wondering whether we were on early or not. But I'm here tonight. This is Jim, and I'm here tonight with Steph. Hello, Steph, who's panelling and co-hosting.
Hello, Jim.
How are you tonight?
Excellent. Very excited.
And we have a guest in the studio tonight. We have Meredith Carter here, who is the spokesperson for the Victorian Medicare Action Group. Hello, Meredith.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Steph.
Hello. Thanks so much for coming on the show. This is something that I think both of us feel quite strongly about, so we're very glad to have an expert in the room.
Great.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And we're going to range over what's happening with the government's proposals to Medicare under the budget that has gone down so well in the public domain over the past month or so, and specifically talk about some of the things that are going to be of interest to our community, in particular the co-payments issue. And we'll just range, I think, a lot over Medicare tonight. Then we might have a bit of a wrap-up of the week's news about various things that are happening. And we're going to play some music, of course. And, of course, you can join in this conversation by SMSing in on 0427JOY949 or emailing us, which is what we prefer, of course, onair@joy.org.au. So do that and send us a message. And tell us what you think about what we're talking about. Or you can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/isnothingsacred on Joy 94.9. You can leave us messages there and we'll look at them during the week.
And talking about Medicare today and all things health, this week it's something that I guess all of our listeners will have something to say about. Everyone has been to the doctor at some point in their lives, because some of the other topics we cover are a bit more specialised, talking about intercountry adoption or being eaten by a shark. Not everyone's been eaten by a shark, but everyone has been born and therefore can have a view on Medicare.
They can.
So we'd love to hear from you. Let us know.
If you've never been to the doctor, tell us that you've never been to the doctor and tell us why you've never been to the doctor, because it would be good to know why.
Excellent.
I think it would mean they are a product of our fabulous preventive health measures.
Oh, yeah, sure, which are not mostly existent. So, Meredith, tell us...
Jim.
Tell us what the Victorian Medicare Action Group is or who it is.
Well, the Victorian Medicare Action Group is a loose alliance of people keen to defend Medicare. So it involves community health services, religious organisation, trades unions, doctors, all sorts of different people who are concerned about protecting the integrity of Medicare.
All left-wing do-gooders, are they?
I don't know that they would consider themselves left-wing do-gooders. They're people who like a bit of evidence to their policy.
Well, that'd be unusual. Can't imagine anybody like that.
Jim, you're being facetious.
Me?
You're being rude to our guest.
Oh, I don't think so.
So, I guess, so the people in the group are united in terms of their view. I guess, what are the primary concerns of the group? What would you like to see happen or not happen in the future?
Well, I guess what we're concerned about is the lack of support for the idea of universal access to healthcare that we're seeing from the federal government. And we've seen that play out in the recent federal budget.
Says, the health minister says that they're strengthening Medicare.
Well, it's very hard to see how they're strengthening Medicare. And the GP co-payment is a fabulous illustration of that, because introducing co-payments for primary healthcare just means that people will be will have a barrier to going to the doctor, and that when they are sick, they will think twice, when really what we need is people going to the doctor when they need healthcare. That helps all of us, not just the individual who's sick. You know, an obvious example is if you have an infectious, contagious illness and you don't go and get it treated, you will spread it in amongst the rest of the community.
It's a good reason for taking the day off work.
It is a good reason for taking the day off work. It's also a good reason for using your day off work to go and see a doctor.
I heard Joe Hockey say that that the Medicare co-payment was actually going to make Medicare sustainable, because it was going to give it a it was going to give it another income stream, and that
except that the money's going to be spent on a medical research fund.
What? So sick people are going to contribute to research into their own ailments,
and then they won't be able to afford to go to the doctor to get the cure that's been developed.
Which takes at least 25 years to develop anyway.
That's right.
So can you tell us a little bit more about, I guess, which groups in particular are most likely to be affected by the Medicare co-payments?
Yep, Steph. I think the key people that will be affected are the sick and the poor. So people with chronic illnesses will obviously find it more expensive to see the doctor as much as they might require. And I think people with young children who famously get sick a lot will also experience trouble. Anybody with more than one child will, and particularly if they have a person in the family who has a chronic illness, will be particularly hard hit.
Hardly going to encourage vaccination rates, is it? Because you have to go to the doctor to get vaccinations in most states, though not in Victoria, because you can get them through local government. But for those states where you have to go to a GP to be vaccinated, that means that won't go.
Yeah, absolute disincentive. And I think the other group is people, anybody on a fixed income, the elderly in particular, who are already concerned about the cost of everything, will be significantly affected by this. That, firstly, they often need to go to the doctor a lot, and secondly, the fact that they're on a fixed income and anxious about that will deter them from going.
And in our community, in the LGBTI community, there will be the issues that arise from people with HIV who will have to pay $7 every time they go for their regular GP checkup, which is actually a necessity for maintaining their health. But they will also then have to pay a $7 co-payment for all their pathology tests. Yeah. So their blood tests, which they also require regularly, will have attract a charge. So.
Yeah, I think it's not just at the GP you'll face higher out-of-pocket costs. It's at the potentially emergency department in hospitals. It's radiology, it's pharmacy, and as I understand it, also pathology. So, which is really hard to understand. I mean, if you want to impose a co-payment at the GP on the basis that you think people are attending the GP too much and you want to deter them from going to the GP, that's one thing. But once you're actually at the GP and they tell you that you need some extra investigations, then what is it really seems very strange to be suggesting that they have a co-payment then as well.
Wouldn't the most equitable thing be to increase the Medicare levy?
That would be a very efficient way of raising extra money, and I think a 1% increase would raise something like $7 billion. So,
those that can afford it would pay it, because that's a progressive levy, isn't it?
Because it's a progressive form of taxation, yep. That would be a very efficient way of raising the extra money. It would be people paying according to their capacity to pay, and this is certainly not a measure that goes in that direction. This is like a flat tax, if you like, because everybody pays the same amount regardless of their capacity to pay.
Do you think it would be an overstatement to say that this, you know, you're talking before about people who were HIV positive, and I guess we also know a little bit about people in the LGBT community having sometimes, you know, higher risk of mental illness and sometimes are barriers to employment, particularly people in the trans community, because of the discrimination they face. Do you think it would be an overstatement to say that this Medicare levy would disproportionately affect people in the LGBT community?
I think that's quite likely. Certainly, it will disproportionately affect people who are on low incomes. And there's a very high correlation between poor health and low income. You know, some of your listeners will have heard of the social gradient, that sort of ladder in health, and which equates with income. So the poor and the sick are the people likely to be hit hardest by this measure.
So it's a bit of a double whammy. So the people who were likely to need to go to the GP more often are the ones who were less likely to be able to afford it.
Well, we all know the stats around LGBTI and mental health. And to access good mental health care for services these days, you require a GP mental health plan, which means you're going to be paying a co-payment for that. So if you're an HIV positive person that requires a mental health plan, you're going to be double whammied up, and then you're going to have to pay for all your blood tests extra as well, which are at the moment all included under universal health care.
Triple whammy.
I think one of the really most insidious things about it is it also drives a wedge between patients and their doctors, because if doctors want to continue to bulk bill you, they will lose money, not just the $7 that you would have paid them, but they will lose $7 from their Medicare rebate as well. So they'll take a double whammy too.
So do you think that will have an effect on the decisions that the GP makes in terms of recommendations to their patients?
Hopefully it won't, but I know it's making the medical community very cross. I think the politicians in this case have been too clever by half, because not only are they putting patients offside, but even the AMA is saying that this is really misguided.
That's something I certainly want to come back to. We are going to go to a few messages and then to a song. If you do have any questions or comments, please SMS us on 0427 JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. It's 14 minutes past 10.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD TIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You're with James, Kurt, Steph and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred? Joy 94.9.
Hi there, Joysters. You are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. It's 19 minutes past 10, and that was Björk. And we're playing Björk tonight because we're saying hello to Patrick, our normal co-host, who isn't here tonight. Where is Patrick?
He's in his hometown of Sydney. What's he doing in Sydney, Jim?
He's doing a post-punk performance. He's singing at an event in Sydney, which he had to write some music for. Because in another one of his lives, he is a performer. And we're one day going to make him sing the show. We did make him sing one show, remember that?
I don't think we made him. I think he was very keen on singing the show. He has quite a good voice.
He's got a very good voice. Anyway, Patrick, that was for you. So if you're listening on the Joy app, which I'm sure you are, or streaming on Joy 94.9 on joy.com.au. And so, we have a guest in the studio who we've been talking to up until now, Meredith Carter from the Victorian Medicare Action Group. Hello, Meredith.
Hi.
And we've been talking about what's happening with Medicare and that some of the changes the federal government have tried to introduce through the federal budget, though they haven't actually managed to get these changes in through the parliament yet, have they?
No.
And I noticed that a lot of their other changes they've just dumped, like the changes to Newstart and single parents benefit and all that. They announced that they're not going to go ahead with them until they know what the new Senate makeup is going to be like. So that's putting a hole in the budget already. So one assumes that this is going to be a very hard thing for them to get through the new Senate as well, because the PUP has decided it doesn't like them, hasn't it?
The PUP has said that they think it's pretty tough on people to have to pay co-payments when they go to the doctor, and that people should be encouraged to go to the doctor when they need to.
So we should be encouraging the PUP to yelp a bit more.
Good on your PUP for once.
Howl. We should encourage the PUP to howl.
We'll just stand on its tail.
If you have an opinion on the proposed Medicare co-payments or anything doctor visitation related, SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au. So, Meredith, so we're talking before the break about, you know, this idea that part of the goal of the co-payments was about reducing the frequency with which people go to the GP, which is a questionable goal in itself. But if people aren't going to the GP, where are they going to go?
Well, I think that where the obvious place that they're going to go is to hospitals. And hospital emergency departments are already, as most people would know, and I certainly know, I was there today with my elderly mum, hospital emergency departments are pretty overcrowded already. And most developed countries understand that spending on prevention, such as GPs and related services, is the best way to avoid hospital overcrowding, but apparently we don't. The danger is that hospitals will introduce co-payments as well, and the federal government has indicated that they will amend the Medicare legislation to allow that to happen. So I think this is a really pernicious thing. We Australians already get admitted to hospital at a higher rate than almost any other developed country. And so we already have a health system that's too hospital-centric.
Well, it's tertiary heavy when it should in fact have good ambulatory and community services, which it doesn't have at the moment.
Yeah. Can you explain to listeners what you mean by tertiary heavy?
Yeah, well, primary health care is the first point of call. That is GPs in particular, but community health centres who often have ancillary health practitioners.
Yeah, they have
there,
health
like
promotion workers. Health they promotion have workers nurses. Dietitians, all sorts of different health
mental
services.
Mental health workers, drug and alcohol workers and things like that. And so if people can access those easily, then when there's a need for them to access the healthcare system, they can do that and then they can be referred appropriately. And the secondary level of our healthcare services are those specialist services, so people like physicians and community surgeons and people like that. So if you require, you know, if they think you've got a cancer, for instance, a skin cancer, you'll be usually sent to a dermatologist who is a specialist in skin and particularly these days in skin cancers. And then the treatment will occur in either the rooms of the dermatologist or in a day centre, a day surgery centre, which is attached to a hospital system, so that if then there's anything extra that needs to be done, you can be taken into the tertiary centres, which are the hospitals. Okay. So there are just different levels of care, and the idea is that that you go in through the primary level because that is the most efficient way and most efficient and effective way to get people into the system and to get to have appropriate care, because the GP or the primary health care worker can act as the referral point and the triage point. The secondary care providers can do those things that can be done quickly and easily but which are more complicated and maybe more stressful, and that the tertiary centres, e.g. the hospitals, are there to deal with those complex cases that require ongoing, much higher interventions.
Yeah.
I think that's...
and I think one of the things...
Thank you.
One of the reasons that some of these things are separated from each other is to stop people travelling from, say, a primary care visit in emergency through to a hospital stay itself. But there is a bit of a, I guess it's sort of human nature, that if you see a sick person and you're a bit, if you're a young registrar or something, and a bit underconfident, that you might actually admit them to hospital rather than see how they go. Whereas the local GP is less likely to actually propose that you get admitted to hospital.
Well, most GPs don't actually have admittance rights to hospitals, whereas all the registrars in the emergency departments have admission rights, and they're much less skilled doctors and much less experienced doctors. But let's just go and have a look at
it. That's why we have the day procedure centres, completely separate,
yep.
surgery and theatres and so on, to the ones in your basic public hospital where they want to concentrate on the most complex work.
But
and
if we go
not
and look at
the
other healthcare systems around the world where they don't have the triage system of primary healthcare, the United States is the clear example where you can go to a physician. So you can go to it straight to a specialist. You don't have to get a referral. Like, we have to get a referral to go to a specialist here, which means you've got to go to a GP first, who then finds out the best specialist to send you to, the most appropriate one, and sends you there. But in the US, you can just go to a, you can go to any, you know, you can go, oh my goodness, I feel that I've got a brain tumour. I'm going to go and ask a brain specialist to check me out. And you can go straight there. Well, brain specialists charge a lot more than GPs. The cost of the healthcare system in America is, if we want to talk about unsustainable, our healthcare system costs under 10% of our GDP. The American healthcare system is almost 16% of their GDP. And we don't want to have an American healthcare system which is super expensive and where the people making the money out of it are private specialists who actually advertise for people to come and they advertise your ailments and say, are you feeling like this? You might need, and so then they encourage hypochondria and so on.
Well, I think the other concern would be that I think the other people who do make a lot of money out of the, particularly the American healthcare system, would be the pharmaceutical industry, and they certainly advertise increasingly directly to consumers. That's illegal in Australia, but there are ways around that to suggest things that can help you that you should ask your GP about. People will be looking for things that mean that they don't have to go to the GP. So I think it is likely that we will see more of a push for direct advertising to consumers from pharmaceuticals companies.
You only
well.
Have to go to New Zealand to see it, because New Zealand has direct pharmaceutical advertising, and it's appalling. You go, you watch TV in New Zealand, and it's all these ads for you can take this to cure this. You should ask your doctor to prescribe it straight out. I mean, it's as clear as that.
That's very dangerous.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. I certainly hope we never get to that point here in Australia.
Well, we also hope that.
We have to go to a few announcements, but we'll be back. Don't forget to SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
You're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
And it's 28 minutes past 10.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
So, Steph, who have we got in the studio?
We have Meredith in the studio, and we're talking about Medicare and particularly about the proposed co-payments, but also about healthcare in Australia more broadly. And one thing we were talking about in the break was the American healthcare system, because it was something that we mentioned in the last segment, saying, oh, we don't want Australia to become like America. We know that healthcare in America isn't good, and particularly for people who can't afford insurance, it's a bit of a disaster from what I understand. If you live in America, could you tell us a bit more about that? And I guess what's good about the Australian system now that we want to try to retain?
Well, I think what's good about the Australian system is that we have developed a system of universal access to healthcare based on an insurance system that we pay as we go through the tax system, and not when you actually front up at the doctor's surgery or at the hospital. In the US, and that system of universal access with payment according to need rather than capacity to pay costs the Australian community about 9% of GDP, as Jim said before. The American system is between 16 and 17% and rising, and is based on an insurance, private health insurance-based system, and traditionally associated with people's employment. So many Americans are actually tied to their job, not because of the job itself or their salary, but because of their health insurance package that they receive through their employer. And many more Americans, some 40 million Americans, were without any health insurance at all.
And America has the highest rate of uninsured children, so uncovered children in health in the world.
So what does that mean in practical terms for those people?
Well, what it actually means is poorer health outcomes. So much higher rates of illness and early death than we would see in Australia.
So say in this family where you have a child who is uninsured, whose parents don't have insurance, and they get quite sick with something that's curable but dangerous, say, I don't know, they break a bone and it gets infected, something like that. Well, what happens to that child?
Yeah, if they turn up at a doctor's surgery or at a hospital, they may well be asked to prove that they can pay and have to fill out the forms to demonstrate that before they will get any healthcare at all.
And what happens if they can't pay?
If they can't pay, they get sent to one of the university hospitals. And the university hospitals are known as the indigent hospitals. Indigent hospitals, that is the hospitals for poor people, and they operate accordingly, and they and the universities are forced to provide these hospitals under their funding arrangements with the federal US government, and they're full of trainee doctors and nurses, so they're not getting the best quality care.
So the introduction of the Affordable Care Act by the Obama administration was a huge advance,
and that was based on Medicare, in fact.
And based on Medicare, based on the idea that healthcare should be about need rather than capacity to pay. And interestingly, just as the US takes these major steps towards universal access to healthcare with the introduction of the Affordable Care Act, the Australian government is walking away from it and significantly undermining Medicare with the introduction of these co-payments and also with the massive cuts, around $8 billion over 5 years from the states in terms of hospital funding. So it's an extraordinary thing. And I'm really interested that the US, which has co-payments for everything, have particularly under the Affordable Care Act quarantined a whole range of preventive care services provided by primary care practitioners, GPs, so that people on low incomes will have access to preventive care. So they've specifically quarantined women's health, alcohol abuse support services, mental health care, all sorts of services identified with primary prevention. And so again, just another example of where the US is walking in the direction of a system like Medicare, and Australia, which has had the system working quite well for quite a number of years now.
And the US is the only country in the developed world that doesn't have a universal healthcare system. Every other country in the developed world, all of the Western European world, Japan, us, New Zealand, all have universal healthcare systems for a good reason. They keep your population healthier than if you don't have them.
If I can just add, before you think it's just about being bleeding hearts, if you want a productive workforce, then a major reason to fund universal access is that keeping your workforce healthy will keep them in the workplace being productive. And that's recognised as that reason for funding universal access to healthcare is recognised in places like Germany, where they talk about universal access being about social solidarity and reinforcing a productive workforce.
Yeah, that was actually the question I was going to ask about whether there was any research about, I guess, lost productivity that could have been saved from preventative healthcare, and the cost of not having universal healthcare, I guess, is what I'd be interested in.
There's quite a lot of research around those.
Certainly,
the
US is again a case study for how not to develop a system, and the cost of private health insurance on the car industry. I forget the name of the guy, but the cost of the car industry on Chrysler, for example, was the subject of a book that was written about the car industry, and that system of tying health insurance to your employment has been a major cost for industry being competitive with other countries, quite apart from the impact on the US economy itself.
Now, we do have a message that's come in from one of our regular listeners, Eddie, who said, "Hi there, great discussion. I am very worried about this co-payment would mean for my friends with chronic illnesses. We should be helping everyone access health services, not making it much harder for people with less capacity to pay. Eddie, I think you could have been in here talking about this with us tonight, because you have, in that short message, have encompassed the sort of things that we've been talking about right through the program. But we would expect that of you, since you are a regular listener.
Well, I do think he's, you know, making a good point. You know, what's the point of being a wealthy country if you can't spend money on staying well and treating illness?
Now, I mean, one of the things that I do remember from friends of mine who had HIV in the US was that for a long time, when the federal government in the US just refused to even mention the words HIV, they didn't want to know about it, and they provided hardly any services. When they got, well, for a start, people would never test. And then when they did test, if they tested positive, then they didn't know what to do, because their insurance often wouldn't cover it, because it was they couldn't get insurance now because they had a pre-known illness.
Yeah.
And the insurance companies wanted to find the cheapest ways of treating it. And, well, there were no cheap ways of treating HIV. And so they would all either end up at the indigent hospital, or they would end up sick. And in New York, it was common for people to be dying in the streets, on the steps of tenement buildings, because they had nowhere to go and they were positive, and, you know, they'd get pneumonia. And what do you do when you got pneumonia? Mm. You lie down because you can't move, basically. And so they couldn't actually get access to care. And so that's the sort of thing that we do not want to see. And it sounds sort of alarmist, but that's the sort of thing that happens when we don't have universal access to good healthcare.
Mm. We're going to go to some messages and a song, but we're going to be continuing the conversation after break. Don't forget to SMS 0427JOY949, email onair@joy.org.au. You're on Joy 94.9. It is 17 minutes to 11.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're with James, Kurt, Steph and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred? Joy 94.9.
Yes, listeners, you're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. It is now 12 minutes to 11. And we've been talking on Is Nothing Sacred tonight about Medicare and the changes proposed to Medicare in the last federal budget, which haven't yet come into force, partly because the government can't get the budget through the Senate, and there's a new Senate coming up. And hopefully it won't get that through the Senate, from the sorts of things that we've been talking about tonight. And we have in the studio with us Meredith Carter, who's the spokesperson for the Victorian Medicare Action Group, which is part of a national coalition, isn't it, as well as just a Victorian coalition?
I think there's a whole lot of consumer and health groups that are worrying about this. I think, for example, the Consumers Health Forum of Australia says about it that the government has traded the Medicare card for the credit card, requiring millions of Australians to pay out of pocket towards their primary medical care. I like that line.
I think that'd make a great ad.
Yeah. Probably would.
It's not the sort of ad the government would like to see, mind you.
No, not at all. Well, there's certainly lots of people who feel very strongly about this issue and about universal health care, and, you know, feeling like the co-payment is a bit of a slippery slope. And I know as well some of my friends have been quite outraged at these comments around, oh, $7 is just the, you know, the cost of
it's
just two cups of coffee. And when you're talking about people who can't afford two cups of coffee, that's not really okay. So if for those people who are feeling passionate and want to do something, what advice would you have for them about how they can get involved?
Well, they can certainly contact the Medicare Action Group, the Victorian Medicare Action Group. Just Google Vic Medicare Action Group, or even type in vicmedicareactiongroup.weebly.com, or you can email us at vic.medicare.action@gmail.com. So there's a couple of different ways.
And you'll get hauled into doing some work.
You will. You'll find yourself
on a radio station with us.
Yeah, that's right. I think it is important that people make their views known, that they contact their local politician and say, you know, this is not acceptable, contact Joe Hockey if you like. But it is important that the pressure is maintained to let the government know that people don't support co-payments.
We've got another message in, and it's great to have this message. This is a message from someone who's SMS'd us. So we don't... Oh, it's from somebody called Joe. Hello, Joe. And we don't know anything more about Joe except that they say, It's so lovely to hear from you, Joy. I'm in a small rural town in Queensland listening online. That means Joe is listening, streaming online on joy.org.au. Click the program button. Click Is Nothing Sacred. What a godsend. I used to live in Melbourne and volunteered at Joy for years, but moved to this town last year and I'm now the only gay in the village. Actually, the only gay for about 200 kilometre radius. Gayness and community is so easy to take for granted until it's gone. Thanks for all being there. Thanks for being accessible and thanks for being. I don't feel so lonely anymore. Thank you, says Joe. Joe, we love the fact that you have that you've messaged us in, and I hope that you're enjoying our program and you're enjoying the sorts of things that we talk about. And listen to us every week at this time. And if you want a topic talked about, if you want a topic about, talk about the being gay and rural, why don't we do that sometime? And you might actually have some ideas about who we might get to be a guest.
Absolutely. We would certainly love to hear from you. We're also, our guest next week is going to be from Queensland. So it'll be a...
Will it be rural?
I don't think it's rural.
It's not rural Queensland.
No, 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 no. But we are very keen to do a show about LGBT people in rural areas. So if you're one of those people, let us know.
We did actually and have a show on rural LGBTI people when we had Daniel Whithouse in the community.
We want more, Jim.
So perhaps we should ask Daniel to come back and talk about it. Daniel, if you're listening, you can expect a call because we want you to come back in and tell us more about Beyond Priscilla and all your recent work in terms of LGBTI training.
And just in terms of the impact of the co-payments on people in the country, I don't think we emphasised that enough before, but for young people, particularly in rural areas who may not want to go to the doctor on their parents' Medicare card, for example, the importance of bulk pilling really can't be overstated. And without that, I think a lot more young people who might need support from their doctors are simply not going to go.
And as Joe says, community and gayness are so easily taken for granted until it's gone. So being gay in a small country town and requiring a sympathetic GP who might be able to put you onto good mental health services or good drug and alcohol services or give you information about HIV or sexual health is really, really important for people's ongoing well-being. So thank you, Joe, for that. We love the fact that you contacted us, and do keep contacting us again. So you're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and it is 7 minutes to 11. We've had a pretty good discussion about Medicare tonight, I think.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Steph, for being on the other side of the panel.
No worries. We're going to go to some messages, and when we come back, we might be talking to someone from the Bears who will be coming up next.
Yeah, the Woods is after us, remember that. And the Bears started this morning at the morning show at 6 o'clock or 6:30, and they've been going all day. I suppose that Luke went home and had a sleep. Somebody would have gone home and had a sleep, but we shall see whether they're still awake in just a minute.
They're not going to be our neighbours for much longer. There's going to be a new grid starting on Joy in a couple of weeks, so we're going to have some new neighbours. Or even if you would like to be our neighbours, you could come and do the Taste of Radio and then you can join us.
Because we did the Taste of Radio course last year and here we are, rabbiting on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred. And we have the wet spot before us and the Woods after us on this grid, but we'll have the wet spot before us on the new grid. We're not sure who we're having after us.
We do rabbit a lot. We'll be back after this short break.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
You're with James, Kurt, Steph and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred? Joy 94.9.
Yes, you have been listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and we've been talking about Medicare, and we've had Meredith Carter in the studio with us tonight, who's the spokesperson for the Victorian Medicare Action Group. Thank you very much, Meredith, for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you both.
We might get you back later to tell us what happens.
Mm.
And we've now also got in the studio the Bears, and one of them can sing.
And it's not me.
Is it you, Mark?
No, it's not me. It's Mr. Luke.
Do you want to
the Wonder Cub?
The Wonder Cub. Can he actually sing?
He can sing.
I heard him singing this morning. I heard him singing Gaga.
He was on. Yes, we had Bracky Bears on this morning, giving away Gaga tickets, and Luke sang three different songs, and people had to guess what the songs were. Yes,
I didn't guess any of them. I have to say, he was mellifluous. I have to say mellifluous, but Still didn't know what the song was.
What does that word mean? I don't know either.
Tuneful.
Tuneful. Oh, very good.
Go on, give us a little burst.
No.
Go on, Luke. No, don't say no.
He's shying away from the microphone. He's cowering in the corner. I'll sing with you. What's the song?
I have seen Luke at the
Go, Luke.
And he's never been shying away from anything.
All right. My voice is gone today, but I'll try again. Alright.
Sing Lady Gaga.
I can't believe what you said to me last night we were alone. You threw your hands up. Baby, you gave up. You gave up. That's all you get.
There you go. He can sing.
He can sing. He can
sing. Just a little bit.
And that's the third time we've had live music on on There's Nothing Sacred. We had a choir once. Do you remember that?
We did. It was my choir. I do remember.
It was your choir. And we had Patrick singing his way through a show.
I think we should have more live music on our show.
I think we should do a joint show with The Woods sometime to finish off the grid and have Luke and Patrick sing the whole show.
A sing-off. That'd be great.
Have a sing-off.
Well, that would be next week, isn't it?
It would be next week.
Next week is the last
sing-off.
Yeah, show of the season.
We might have a sing-off.
And we won't be neighbours anymore.
No, we won't be. So you won't be coming in to talk to us.
No.
What are you talking about tonight anyway on...
We are talking about Where the Bears Are. We had
the online
series. Yeah, we had a little thing called Sudden Hibernation 2 weeks ago, and everyone at the moment, all the bears are homesick with the flu at the moment, called bear flu.
They gave it to each other.
Yeah, they did, and it's all the international guests like Where the Bears Are that came out, and we got them into the studio, and we talked to them while they were here. And so we talk about they actually ended up filming the last couple of...
Who murdered the person in the bath?
Well, apparently a few people do know because they filmed the last episode in Melbourne at one of the Southern Hibernation events. So the people who were extras in the... They know what the...
What the conclusion outcome of the murder in the bath was.
Well, it's apparently this season there's quite a few murders. Because we're up to season 3 now. There's been a couple of murders already, but we're up to season 3 and apparently there's quite a few murders.
It's not the hot boy that murdered him in the bath, is
no,
it?
No, it's not. No, they wouldn't do that. Apparently in the very first season it was going to be, but they changed the script at the last minute so they could keep him in there.
Well, I think they kept the hot boy because the hot boy was going out with the daddy, wasn't he?
I think they just kept him because he was hot, to be
he
honest.
He was hot.
No, the two of them are actually, and we talk about that tonight, two of them, Ben and Joe, have been in a relationship for 20 years and they got married last year. Aww. As well,
they got married because they can get married, unlike here,
and they got married for the insurance, but we'll talk about that more tonight as well.
Oh good, well that sounds like a good show, so keep listening people to Mark the Big Bear and Luke the Wonder Cub.
Yep.
who sings
apparently
our neighbours for the next week.
Yeah.
It's 1 minute to 11, so we'd better wrap up. Thank you so much, Meredith, for a really great show. We will be maybe posting a link on our Facebook page so people can get in contact. We got the thumbs up from across the studio. Thanks, Jim, as always.
Thanks, Steph.
Next week, we're going to be talking about EduHack and about racism. So listen in. You're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.